Thank you all for being here this morning. In case you forgot, I shall remind you, I love each and every one of you, and I'm thankful for you being here. Thank you for walking by faith, by loving your neighbor as yourself, and by proclaiming your faith in Jesus and the true and living God by being here this morning and by being doers of the word. I'd like for us to study James chapter 1 a little bit this morning and consider some things from God's holy word about being doers of the word. The very first verse, James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. James says, greetings. But before he says anything, he says, here's who I am and where I'm at. I've given my life over to God. Now in our world, a bondservant or a slave or a servant has a negative connotation to it. But in their culture, it was very common. And a bondservant is not like what we consider when we think of slave or bondservant in our culture today. Back then, people might come upon hard times and indenture themselves to be a slave or a servant to somebody to take care of them. And you know, it's unique in the Old Testament, if you haven't studied it, but after 7 years of being a slave or a bondservant, committing yourself to somebody to work for nothing, basically is what it means. Being a servant for nothing, or a slave for nothing, bondservant. You're freed to choose what you would like. And you know, a lot of those folks chose right back around to servitude, committing themselves to something for nothing, because they were taken care of and they were treated right. You know, back in the Old Testament times, they didn't have mortgages. And then when they had mortgages and debts back in that time, guess what? How long they had to be for in God's word? 7 years. 7 years. 7 years and all debts were given, forgiven, free. If you read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it's in there. 7 years. You couldn't have a debt over 7 years long. And if you ask somebody, or maybe give somebody some grace, period, even after 7 years, you had to forgive them 100% of all the debt. Now, how would our society work today if we only had 7-year mortgages? Okay? I'm just asking. How many of us have had, I shouldn't say that. I've had over a 7-year car payment. I've had 8-year, I think. 7-year, maybe 7 is max. Price of things are so high. Yeah, you think, man, 7-year mortgage, I would only be able to afford, oh, that's right. You'd only be able to afford what you could afford, potentially. Or interest wouldn't be so high that you wouldn't have to mortgage it for such a long time. It's kind of unique. You consider that 7 year. But back to being a bondservant. James, a bondservant, God alone. How can you be free in Christ and still be a bondservant? By serving for free. By giving your heart. By making him king of your life. And I know we've heard those things, and you've heard me speak of those things from the pulpit, but do you grasp them in your heart? Have you humbled your sight, yourself, in the sight of God? Have you said, my heart is open, do with me what you want? Ah, you are the potter, I am the clay. No, what we want to do is,
Miss Kellyanne, will you be the pie? Will you be the play? I'll be the pie.
That's what we want to do. We want to take the place of God. Let me tell you, let me mold you, let me shape you, let me change your ideas. Let me change what you eat and how you think. That's what we're supposed to be doing with God. And if you're not looking at His recipes, and you're not looking at His love and His truth and His grace, and you're not becoming a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, James says this. God allows him to write this for us to be able to recognize our place in the kingdom of heaven. How many of us? Hey, teenager, will you do something for me? How much you gonna pay me, Dad? How much you gonna pay me, Grandpa? And you know, we do that. Well, I don't want to work for free. I don't want them thinking I'm a hard taskmaster. So we think there is always gonna be something for enough for something. Okay? But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, God says, I love you so much, I gave my only begotten Son. And in turn, when we become bondservants, slaves to Christ, we are giving our all for nothing. We give Him our time, our love, our hearts, our money, our thoughts. After He says, greetings, it is written,
because I'm wearing a context that it's easy for me to read down here.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with the burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will fade away in his pursuits. Obviously, as you can see, for myself this morning, let patience have its perfect work. I don't know about you, but patience is a virtue that is very powerful in our lives, with one another, at home, with our children, our grandchildren, with our spouses, with our co-workers. Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful to be patient. To be patient. To be patient. And God's word even says, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, when you can apply patience. And how do I work on that patience, God? How do I obtain that patience? Do I learn that patience from my wife sometimes? For my children, sometimes, grandchildren, brothers and sisters in Christ, friends, co-workers, boss, politicians, sometimes. But God says this, wisdom is tied to patience. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. If any of you lacks patience, let him ask God. But ask in faith, What are you asking for? What are you asking for? What do you ask God for in your life? Grace, mercy, patience, wisdom, love, forgiveness? Or are you just asking to make it through the day? Are you just asking for a little more money? Are you just asking for just a little this or a little that? When we're children of the Most High God, and we should be reaching out to Him. And we should be champions of patience and of wisdom and of power and of faith. But God, I'm doing all those things, and other people have better things than me, and they're richer than me, and they don't have any problems. First off, everybody has problems, whether you're a child of God or not. And following Jesus is not going to eliminate your problems. What it gives you is the proper direction and wisdom and faith and patience and love to handle all those problems. Because the world doesn't teach you to handle problems that way. Because James says, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Let the humble brother, maybe, you know, it could either be humble in attitude to the proud or the rich, or it could just be being humble because you don't have as much means as the next person. Stop thinking that richer people are more favored by God. That's not true. It rains on the just and the unjust. The world wants you to think somebody's doing something right when they're monetarily successful. Not so. First century Christians, how many of them do you think were middle class? That's a good question. I don't know. We're going to have to study. That's a homework question, I guess, for me. I'll give myself homework. I don't want to burden you guys, but you might be inquisitive about it. In that society, okay, people that were without God, and even, let's say, the priests and all the high people of the Jews, this was Jewish people for the most part, the most godly people had the most power and money. Folks, Jesus come to say, not so. That's why he picked disciples that were just common people. There was some rich people, don't get me wrong, some affluent people, some blessed people in that pertaining, but he picked good-hearted people. He picked people with patience. How many of you ever been fishing with somebody that's not patient? Takes the fun out of it. You want to be patient, take your kids fishing. Because don't plan on fishing, fishermen. You're going to help the kids. Okay? I learned that a long time ago when we took my nephew fishing with my brother. Went fishing on the Saginaw Bay last year with my brother, buddy, and I said, was that last year or this spring? No, it wasn't the spring because the spring was COVID last year. Okay? My brother basically tended everything in the poles and what baits we were using and the speed of the boat. And me and the buddy I went to high school with and hung out with, one of our neighborhood friends growing up with, who we were fishing with, did all the fishing. And then they razzed me because I caught most fish. But my brother was actually tending everything. I called him El Capitan. That's my brother. Folks, patience is a very powerful thing in the kingdom of heaven. How much patience did Jesus have with those people that wanted to argue with him and accuse him of falsehood and lied about him and struck him and didn't know who God was? When we come into those same situations in our life, we need to remember the patience of Christ, the love of Christ, the faith of Christ. We need to ask for faith and wisdom in those times. And we need to recognize, folks, that our win is being a child of God and a bondservant of Christ and of God. Our win is not our bank account. Our win is not being smarter than somebody else or winning a conversation or having more power over somebody else. Our win is being a bondservant of God and of Jesus. Continuing in James 1, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when a desire is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadowing of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. I'll say it again. If you haven't said, get behind me, Satan, in the last week, you better wake up. Okay? You better walk by faith. You better walk in spirit. You better pay attention to what's going around on around about you. I plead with you to do that. But look to Jesus. I put this picture in this slide because there's no one better as an example that has endured temptation as the Son of God when he walked here on the face of the earth. To have patience and wisdom and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy in everything we do. He led with those character traits because that's how God has created us in his image. I don't know about you, but it takes patience to endure temptation. And it takes wisdom to endure temptation. It takes wisdom and patience and faith that what you're doing is the right thing to endure temptation. To be committed to the commitments you've made to following God and Jesus. And you know what's unique? I highlighted to those who love him because that's how we prove our love to him. When we are patient, when we are wise, when we are faithful in our decisions. And sometimes we don't see that in our actions. Sometimes we make mistakes. But to continue in that sin and disregard the Holy Spirit telling you to stop or to change or recognizing what you did was wrong and not repentant is dangerous. It's why people continue living lives and never saying, Satan, get behind me. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. We don't use that whole bunch, brethren. We don't use that word a whole bunch in our culture, but it's a great word. What a powerful word. My brothers and sisters in Christ and faith and patience and love in bondservitude to the Heavenly Father. Those of us that have been brought forth by the word of truth. Those of us that are not deceived. Those who love him. Those who love him. You know, my mother always said, actions speak louder than words, and I didn't like that when she told me that. But you know what? Be doers of the word. That's what God's word's telling us. You can say I love you all you want to God. But until you start doing his word, and still you believe that patience is the way, instead of revenge, Till you believe that wisdom is the way instead of worldly knowledge. Till you believe that saying, I am walking by faith, not by sight. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you are excited about being doers of the word? That's why I put the slide up again. Different slide, different colors, similar pose for the guy or person. Unfortunately, it's guy. Person. How many of you are happy that you're in Christ? How many of you are happy that you're going to live forever? How many of you are happy that you're a child of God? How many of you are happy that you've conquered self and sin and given your heart to Jesus? So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Our title of our lesson this morning is Be Doers of the Word. And the opposite of that is just hearers only. And I'm not talking about starting a new program. I'm not talking about a car wash. Any kind of program you come up with. We need to change this. We need to change that. I'm talking about the change of a heart that God does. That His Word is implanted in us. The power of Christ working in us. The Word of God working in us. The power to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Swift to hear. The power to receive with meekness the implanted word. The power not to forget that we are children of the Most High God. We will live forever. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. The power to look into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it. But a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Blessed. See, when we think of blessed, you know, favor, right? Blessings and favor. But if you just use the word happy, you can be happy if you're doing the Word of God. All the things we've looked at in this passage, you're going to be happy if you're a bondservant of Christ. If you're not, I plead with you to open your heart. Let God's work on your heart. I plead with you not to be deceived. I plead with you to practice on bridling your tongue, if that's a struggle for you. I'm not talking about being a good debater. I'm not talking about being a reasoner. You know, if you want to listen to somebody that can really reason from the scriptures, he passed away this year, and his name is Ravi Zacharias. He's an Indian from India, follower of Jesus. And if you listen to the way he reasons from the scriptures with people, he was a big debater. He went to campuses and always open. But he said, if this is true, then this can't be true. And if this is true, this is true. But this is how this, if it's true, that's fine. But you got to apply it to everything. You think about that, you know? If it's okay if I poke you in the eye for something I don't like, an eye for an eye, then that's fine. But when your eyes start being black and hurt and red and you can't see anymore, guess what? Not so with Christ. Turn the other cheek. The eye poking stopped when Jesus came. He said, have patience. Have wisdom. Walk by faith. Love as I've loved. God is a God of love. Are you a child of God? Be a doer of the work, not a hearer only. There's a big difference in this passage, this chapter we're looking at. Is the Word of God working in your heart and directing your paths and your mind? And there's two reasons it's not. One is you don't know what it is, and you have a responsibility to find out what God's Word is, or you just decided not to follow Jesus. That's really what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is. God, I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want your Word working in my heart. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to walk on my own. And Satan tempts us with that all the time, brothers and sisters and friends. That's how we keep oneself unspotted from the world, is by continuing to open our heart up to God's Word and let it work on our hearts. And as these passages encourage us with multiple ways to be successful and be doers, it's all individual. It's all what we're supposed to be doing and thinking and saying. It doesn't say, go tell somebody else to be a doer. I know I'm doing that this morning, but you guys want me to do that, I guess. Okay? God's Word says, look in the mirror, right? We just looked at this passage. Look at your own heart. Examine yourself daily. Because at the end of the day, I want all of us to stand up here just like this guy in his picture and see God's wonderful creation and see His grace and His mercy and His love and His power and His people and us living forever. God has created a beautiful planet for us and created each one of us, and He cares about us. It's only men and their sin and their hate and Satan that destroys how beautiful this place is. God created this earth for us, to put us on it, for Him. It's His place. Not the other way around. And when you eliminate any of that thought process, you take God out of the equation. And I pray that you be doers of the Word and include God in everything you do. Your actions, your thoughts, your decisions, your life. It'll help you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Closing this morning, be doers of the Word. The things we've looked at in God's holy Word in James chapter 1 this morning, be a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let patience have its perfect work. Ask in faith. Endure temptation. Love Him. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Receive with meekness the implanted Word. Be doers of the Word. Don't deceive yourselves. Be a doer of the work you will be blessed in what you do. Bridle your tongue, don't deceive your own heart, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. If you haven't given your life to Christ, we plead with you, there's no better time than now. If you aren't being a doer of the word, there's no better time than now to make that right with God as we stand and sing the selected song this morning.